not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Jim Mears, Vice President and General Manager of Motorola's Federal Government Market Division. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing great, John. Thanks for having me in here this morning.
Great. You know, you pick up the newspaper, you watch TV, you see all these people waiting in line for mobile phones. You walk down the street, everyone's got these iPads and these mobile phones and this and that. And I thought it'd be important to talk about mobile technology, maybe from the perspective of a federal IT professional. And that's why we have Jim in the studio today. I mean, anyone who hears the word Motorola, they think about mobile technology. And what I thought we'd bring in, bring Jim in, talk about some of the new developments with Motorola, where they're heading the next 6 to 8 months, how they can help my listeners solve some thorny problems they have both here and abroad. But before we do this deep dive into a deep topic, Jim, tell us a little about your background and how you wound up here with Motorola.
Sure. Thanks, John. I've been with Motorola 30 years now.
You don't even look 30 years old,
well,
Jim.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Mighty kind of you. Right out of the University of South Carolina, if I could give a plug to my South Carolina Gamecocks, national champs in Division I baseball.
Okay.
Anyway, hired right on at the University of South Carolina in 1981 and have really enjoyed not only serving public safety, but the federal government space as well in that tenure.
Yeah, that's great. You have a friend whose son is down at the Citadel, and it's not a fun place.
Yeah.
I can tell you, it's not a vacation place for someone in the Citadel.
Challenging
that's for
spot.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more Motorola. When most of my listeners think about Motorola, they think of two-way communications. And I think the objective today is to maybe expand that and maybe move up the chain and say, well, you know, Motorola is very, very effective in the area of two-way communications, but now they have some new projects, new initiatives that are going to allow my listeners to maybe manage these devices better than they could in the past. Tell us about some of the new projects you've had come up in the last 6-8 months.
Sure, I'll be glad to, John. Obviously, as you probably know, and most of your audience knows, there's been a lot of work done relating to standards to enhance interoperability, not only in the federal landscape, but also in the state and local space. Motorola has really been leading that effort and has for decades. We're quite proud of the work we've done to create networks that allow different agencies to interoperate with each other. And the migration to digital technology obviously has been part of P25 Phase 2 development. That standard continues to be developed. A lot of good work being done by the customers, both in the federal space as well as state and local. So just creating a whole lot of opportunity out there. And quite frankly, the federal market and the federal leadership have driven a lot of the funding that have helped create interoperable systems so that communications can be much better out in some of the areas. The issue is when an event occurs, the right people have to be able to get the right information to the right people at the right time. And that's really what our effort and work is all about.
Well, you started with Motorola in 1981. I guess this Project 25 started about 1989. So it's been many, many years in the making, hasn't it? Give us, there are listeners who can quote chapter and verse of this P25, Project
right.
25. Tell us a little bit about it and what's the objectives of P25 anyway.
Sure. I guess the lowest common denominator and objective of P25 is really to allow customers with systems potentially from different manufacturers to be able to communicate with each other. You'd mentioned hiring on in 1981 and when the P25 committee first got started in driving these standards. Back then, if you bought a system from Motorola and your neighboring system may have been from another manufacturer, you could not communicate with each other. But what the customers have done, along with manufacturers, and again, I think Motorola's led the way, have created an opportunity for our customers to source product from different people and still be able to communicate across the networks. And that's really the ultimate goal. Obviously, still some work to do, but we're much further along now than we were, let's say, just 8 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, it takes a while to develop standards. When I think of, important mission critical communications, I think of people in the military, people in healthcare, and people in law enforcement. And I think our federal listeners all can be dropped into many of those categories pretty easily. What's some of the newer systems that you provide, I think they allow for tracking and doing a whole lot more than just what normal people think of communication. Tell us some of these capabilities, some of these more of these the managed systems that you have now.
Sure. I'd be glad to do that. Thanks for the nice lead in there. On the DoD side, really domestically, if you look at Garrison Communications, each base kind of looks like a small town. And some of the same things that would apply to state and local government certainly apply to the bases, to the Garrison Communications. So they kind of act as public safety systems. And we work with the DOOMs at each of the bases to make those decisions and compete for those opportunities. You also mentioned location. That's another key component and really an advancement over the last half decade to 10 years is the ability not only to communicate with people where you need to talk to them, but also track their location via that two-way device. And certainly between software and the hardware, a lot of advancements in that industry have taken place over the last 10 years, allowing critical assets, meaning people, to be tracked where they are, whether it's domestically or in the battlefield. The other big advancement really is on mobile computing. We worked with the United States Army. They did a fantastic job of developing their own in-house application, allowing point of care in the battlefield. We supplied the mobile computing device. The project was called MC4, and that's about 30,000 devices that have been deployed in theater, allowing medics to do their jobs much more efficiently than they had in the past.
You know, medic is a hot button for me. My son has a friend who is a medic in Afghanistan right now.
Thank you for his service.
And I keep thinking about now, how do we get this guy back here?
Right, absolutely.
and that's what we all think about. We think about him all the time. And I would think that if he has a device that could track him, I mean, it's got to make his life a whole lot better. I mean, put him, he's in harm's way by just being over there, but it would help other people help him if he's in an emergency situation.
Right. And obviously, our focus absolutely with the DoD is to provide leading communications, not only that work, but are durable, because that's an extremely rugged and difficult environment. Wish I had brought some pictures to show you here in the radio booth, some of the devices that come back out of theater and what they look like. And our goal is to make stuff that's going to work wherever these guys are, both on the two-way device as well as the mobile computing device. And again, the DoD does a great job of writing some of the unique applications that address their specific needs and what they're trying to accomplish in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Interoperability. I live in the world of software development and cloud computing. And if you talk to people who do cloud computing, they talk about, well, the systems have to be plug-in and unplug-in, modular, and the word is interoperable.
Right.
And in my world, interoperable mostly means software standards. And I guess, so interoperability, the first step is P25. What else does interoperability mean for Motorola?
P25 obviously is a key component because, again, you're going to be driving towards standards which provide much more flexibility for the end user. But the other key piece, and you'd mentioned cloud computing, you take some of the disparate networks that are out there today, and there's been some tremendous innovation in the last 10 years, really through IT technology that allow us to link disparate networks together really with server farms, thereby creating the ability for an agency, let's say, in the state of Florida to talk to a state or an agency in Mississippi or Louisiana or California for that matter.
I see a lot of parallels here with the software world. I see a lot of parallels with handheld devices and phones. I know years ago people would get phones and I'd call my wife and she'd call one of the kids. We'd go back and forth. But as that got to be more and more critical, what happens with the management of the phones got more powerful. So you could, if someone lost the phone, they could turn it off. And so some of the whole management of these enterprises, these 30,000 communication devices, I mean, okay, here's 30,000 devices. Good luck. I mean, just managing them, finding out where they're at and tracking, this has got to be a complex process just in of itself.
It is. And another great point, and quite frankly, the federal government, again, has really led that effort. When you deploy these devices in an arena, if you lose a device, you certainly want the capability, number one, to turn that device off. Number two, to rekey all the remaining devices so that a new encryption key now is resident on each of those devices in case the radio got in the hands of a bad guy and it wasn't turned off soon enough. By changing that encryption key, you thereby disabled that device.
All right, we're going to take a little break here, come back, talk a little bit more about ease of use. I think that's important for all of our listeners, whether in the federal government or sitting in a gas station in Bethesda, and maybe talk about this this man down thing. And I think about my son's friend over in Afghanistan and how important something as simple a concept as that can assist them. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jim Mears, Vice President and General Manager of Motorola's Federal Government Market Division. We're talking about mobile devices and going mobile. One thing that's kind of interesting in this whole mobile characteristic is controlling these mobile devices from a central network. Now there's a capability that Motorola has called Man Down. What's that all about?
Great question. That allows dispatch, allows any of our customers, in the event an officer, federal law enforcement officer, state and local officer were to go down, the radio will actually automatically send a signal back to dispatch, not only letting us know the officer's down, but with GPS enablement, allow us to tell exactly where he went down, which can be critical, obviously, in theater or whether it's in your local municipality.
And so that's what this whole next generation that Motorola is talking about now is okay, we got a bunch of reliable devices out there. You can drop them in the ground. They're going to work. They're going to be safe and easy to use. And we can control them more carefully with this enterprise solution that we have here. Let's talk more about this easy to use. You know, you pick up an iPhone and people show you their little baby pictures and their kids, and everyone uses ease of use. But I think Motorola wouldn't be where they're at unless they had some characteristics that were very easy to use, especially in an emergency situation.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of where the secret sauce is in developing the right user interface software so that the technology kind of becomes second nature to our user. That's kind of our tagline right now inside the public safety space, is that technology needs to be second nature, meaning it just becomes very intuitive for the officer to understand how to use the device. Also, the other big piece that Motorola is really leading an effort on is, you'd mentioned next generation. But right now, our next generation public safety system is going to allow our users not only to leverage the investment they've made in their own private critical infrastructure, but also have a very smooth gateway and access to the vast public networks that are built out there. In other words, if they run out of coverage on their private system, or if maybe they happen to hit a hole in their coverage area and a public network exists, we're developing the secret sauce that allow them to very smoothly transition onto that public network, but yet still create a talk path back into their private network, creating seamless communications for that law enforcement officer.
Next generation, you can abbreviate that to next gen. And I guess if you go to Motorola.com, you can search on next gen and find more information. Is that right, Jim?
Absolutely. Motorola.com/next, N-E-X-T, gen, G-E-N.
Next gen. That's great. Ease of use is always important. You know, Einstein once said you're supposed to make things as simple as possible, but not simpler. And so you don't make them too simple that they can't be used.
Right.
But there's easy-to-use devices that offer encryption, that offer this man-down capability, tracking capability. I mean, these are all part and parcel of this next generation.
Right, exactly. You mentioned encryption. Again, that's the key, not only in the federal space, along the borders, and in, obviously, within Department of Justice, but the ability, as we talked earlier, to control those encryption keys and change them when the customer determines it's the right time to change them. And also, quite frankly, if a device is lost, stolen, or whatever, to be able to turn that device on. It's also important in public safety. And the flexibility and ease of use to program those radios and to do that rekeying over the air is something that's changed dramatically in the last 10 years, as opposed to having to field and then vet another 10,000 devices back into dispatch so that you can make that change. Quite frankly, it's a lot easier, it's more efficient, and it's more secure today than it ever has been.
And the change you're talking about is from the old analog method to the digital way, and digital gives all this capability, including encryption. Is that right?
Absolutely. Without going to a digital platform, you don't really have the ability to do the things we're talking about, not only from a security perspective, but also even the interoperability standpoint as well.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I was watching a classic movie over the weekend with Robert Cotton in it, and about World War II, and they were using radios back then, analog radios, and they worried about, you know,
sure,
people tapping.
Sure, they
were I bet they were.
They were.
And reliable. And now it's like, well, maybe we should probably catch up to how current things are happening so you can control what's going on a little bit better than before. Emergency situations, a lot of our people who are listening maybe are in the military or in law enforcement or possibly even healthcare, and they have emergency situations, they got to respond quickly. So where's my Motorola? They grab it and they have to use it. It's got to be easy to use. But, you know, you really have to be trained. You got to practice what to do and when to do it. Isn't that correct?
And that's key. I mean, all the investment that state and local officials have made, as well as the federal government, and again, both have done a fantastic job of enhancing all of that. But the ones that get it right, not only put the right networks in with the right operability features as well as interoperability, but they also practice it, and that's key, because you never know when the event is going to hit. And without the right practice and preparation, which for the most part I think is being done out there, the best technology in the world won't work unless you know how to use it. And I think, again, not only the leaders inside the federal space, the CIOs in this market, but also the state and local leadership have really done a fantastic job of maximizing their investment dollar to create these systems and also provide the training so that the officers that are out in the field understand when that event occurs, who they need to talk to, how they need to do it, and where that information needs to go.
I was doing some research this morning for the show and looking about the history of some of these devices and kind of wondering how they developed and tested them out. Every year we have the Marine Corps Marathon here. We have the Army 10-miler. And I guess what they did to test out some of these devices, they tested them out with distance runners and tried to figure out where they could find them geographically. And then once it was proven, then they could move on to more serious applications.
Absolutely. Not only there, but you may find it interesting. We're also doing some work inside in NASCAR at very high speeds to also bring telemetry and location back to test it in some pretty difficult environment. Because obviously, if we're going to put our name behind something, and we're going to have our brave young and women in theater, we want to make sure the information that's getting back, things like location, things like voice, things like data, happen when they need to happen. So very important for us to put our equipment in those types of situations where it's going to be tested to the max.
I like the idea of NASCAR because I talk about changing your oil as your car's going down the street. But that's what's happening. You have a device that's moving, and tracking it while it's moving is more difficult than when it's stationary.
Absolutely.
And then, oh, by the way, the encryption still has to be there. And, oh, by the way, if you drop it, it's got to work. And, oh, by the way, it's got to be easy to use. Okay,
that's right.
What do you got?
You drop it, it's rained on, you drop it in mud, it's got to continue to work. Durability is absolutely key to the customers that we serve in the space.
You know, I just insulted a whole bunch of the listeners when I said, well, you know, these 10-milers and these Marine Corps marathons, that's not very important, but I'm sure it's important that people are in the race. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, there are people who have heart attacks every year in doing these things. So this is the Motorola MC75. Is that the tracking device? What's the MC75?
Yeah, the MC70 is actually the device that we developed for the Army. The Army, again, wrote a very unique software application that allows their field medics to track from point of care for the patient in the battlefield all the way back to where they may be transporting that particular individual to. Or in the past, quite frankly, they could be transported somewhere and that information might be lost. They'd have to start all over again. This way, you get an ongoing patient record of what needs to happen. Medicine will be ready. Whatever needs to be there for urgent care once they're transported back is also done much more efficiently with that device.
Tell you what, a radio guy like me loves to hear this triage, tracking, and treatment, the three T's. That's what you just talk about with the healthcare industry, huh?
Exactly.
Now, what kind of challenges are faced here in different areas of the world as far as remote problems? I mean, in the current military situation with mountains and tunnels, I would think there's just challenges just geographically.
Yeah, there are. And again, a network usually is only as good as the infrastructure that's deployed for it to talk through. For instance, when you use your cellular phone today, you're going to a transmit tower somewhere that's allowing that device to work. It's really no different than the battlefield. Certainly, the small handheld soldier radios can talk to each other without there being infrastructure to go through. But if you want to enhance that coverage and talk further distances, you have to have something, we call them repeaters, gateways, whatever, in the middle that allow those talk paths to provide wide area coverage. And it can be difficult. That's why you also have satellite communications in theater. Some of these mountainous, difficult areas like you're talking about, especially in Afghanistan, getting regular radio coverage can be difficult. So you have to use a variety of communication techniques in theater, and the DoD is extremely proficient at picking the premium path to utilize.
The premium path. Yeah, that sounds good. Another literary phrase. Got to like it in the radio. We'll take a quick break. We can come back, talk more about Motorola, some mobile devices, and maybe talk about what's going on now and what kind of future changes you see in this whole area in the next 5 to 10 years. I'm sure they're going to be fascinating. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Jim Mears, Vice President and General Manager of Motorola's Federal Government Market Division. Doing a little mobile madness today, talking about mobile devices and ease of use and all kinds of different apparel. I live in the world of software development, and in my world, we talk about cloud computing and private clouds and public clouds and interoperability, and it's a strange parallels here in your world, too, huh, Jim? I think with Motorola, what they're trying to do is do this interoperability. Now, it's a big fancy word and might impress someone at the Starbucks with that, but it's not going to impress my listeners. My listeners want to know, okay, Big Jim, what can you do to make my life easy? So, Jim, what is Motorola doing to make my listeners' life easy? They all carry on a couple phones. Right. What's making it easier for them?
Okay, good lead in. And, the analogy you use with the public and private cloud really can draw a similar parallel to what I guess I'm trying to describe. To boil it down to a low common denominator, it's really a customer that has a private network, giving him the ability not only and obviously to talk within his network, but to move to a neighboring agency or maybe another state or on the other coast and still be able to use his device when he goes into that other network. Now, the other key piece, and something our customers have been driving us to provide and that we're working on, and again, as part of our next generation public safety story, will allow us to leverage the vast amount of public networks that are out there through your Verizon, your T-Mobile, so on and so forth, that exist. So we'll have a companion device that will actually be Bluetooth linked to the mission critical device thereby providing a gateway for them to leverage either network and still maintain communications back to the key people they need to talk to.
So if one of my listeners is in some rural area and they pick up the brick and the brick doesn't work, they can go to their phone. They'll have some options there that'll make the communications easier.
That's exactly the solution that we're looking to provide and still have that as a mission critical path. You know, the other key piece, John, to interoperable communications is the development of multi-band radio equipment. Motorola has led that effort with our new APX radio. Now that allows a user, let's say in Alabama, that may be in one part of the radio spectrum to go to Louisiana after a hurricane, and their system may be in another part of the radio spectrum. Now they've got a device that will be able to work on either network. Absolutely a huge development inside the public space in the last several years, and it'll continue to drive innovation over the next decade.
Because you can't predict where the next emergency is going to be. Haiti, is it going to be, remember the plane went down the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere? I mean, I doubt what kind of reception any device would have there. You have to go back to the second, third, the satellite. You have to go to different devices. That's interesting.
Interoperability needs to be easy to use. You're exactly right.
Let's get the crystal ball out here. And Motorola is this big, huge company doing all kinds of different things. One of the largest divisions is your division. Where is it heading in the next 3 to 5 years? And what areas of service to the federal government do you think you're going to position yourself in?
Our core business will always be two-way communications, providing reliable, easy-to-use, secure communications. In addition to that, mobile computing will be and will continue to be a huge component. We were recently awarded, along with others, access to the AIT-4 contract vehicle that the Army actually vetted. A tremendous opportunity for logistics, for critical care, for a lot of different applications to take back office applications and mobilize those applications for the federal workforce. And also, quite frankly, state and locals looking to mobilize those back office applications for their workforce. So that an officer, as an example, that used to maybe have to write something down, or a medic that had to write down a patient's issues that we're having to have that transported, can all be automated and be done in the field, either batched, or the ultimate vision is for it to be real-time information to and fro wherever that officer may be, via wireless LAN, via their own private network they may have, or public network. So there's a variety of networks that are going to bring that information to the officer and then back to wherever central location may be, whether that be Northern Virginia or in Dallas, Texas.
I think that's what the lessons we've learned in the last 10 years is it going to be New York City? Is it going to be Haiti? Is it going to be rural Pennsylvania? Where's the next problem area going to be? And you got to jump on a plane and be there, and you got to be effective on the ground. It's not a matter of figuring things out in the air. You have to have them planned before these happen. You almost have to anticipate disasters.
Yeah, you do. And quite frankly, in working with partnership with the federal government, also the state and locals, we keep a cache of equipment and deployable trailers. FEMA also has made an investment to have those available so that in the event of an event, if everything is wiped out, we can quickly get critical infrastructure to that location along with devices for volunteers and law enforcement officials to start getting things back in order. So, again, the best preparation in the world, if you get a Cat 5 hurricane coming across the Florida coast or the Louisiana coast again, and it wipes everything out for a couple of days, we're in a position to send our deployables down there along with the governments to get things back up and running much faster than it has been in the past, along with the ability to have those networks talk to each other much more efficiently than has ever occurred over the last decade.
All good information. Thank you very much for your time. We're going to have to end this. More information, you can go to Motorola, and I think it's Next Gen. Is that what it is?
Correct. Motorola.com/NextGen.
And gets more information on all kinds of new ways that mobile devices can be managed to make it more efficient and easier for my federal listeners. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Jim Mears, Vice President and General Manager of Motorola's Federal Government Marketing Division. Thanks, Jim.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight, brought to you by Cisco.
If you think continuous network monitoring is just installing tools, think again. Here's Marianne Swanson of NIST.
This continuous monitoring strategy shouldn't just be about the technical automated controls. If you go off and put all of your resources towards doing just the automation piece of it, and you're leaving out the management piece and the operational piece, the personnel, the physical security. We're going to be a little lopsided in our security.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.